You've heard it said before, I'll just say it again now, but the mind is the battlefield. The mind, our minds is where the great battlefield is. Satan would want to wage war there. And it really comes down to a matter of choice, I suppose. We can choose to... Listen, let me say it this way. We could choose to be captives. In other words, Satan captures our mind. Or we can be the captor. We can take, as one of the verses we looked at, to take captive every thought, every imagination, to take it captive unto the obedience of Christ. So we can either be the captured or we can be the captor, and it's really a choice. Today we're going to look at the conformed mind. We've talked about Romans chapter 12 tells us to not to be conformed to this world, to be transformed. Let our minds be transformed. That's done by the renewing of our minds. We've talked about that verse a little bit. And I don't think we're going to necessarily see that exact verse today, but that's the idea. And what we're going to see today really is an error-proof formula, a recipe that would help us to have a conformed mind. Now, it's not going to do any good for me to give you the recipe if you don't follow it. In other words, we could have the best recipe for a cake, but if we start changing the ingredients and adding our own thing and leaving out other things, it's not going to turn out right. We have to follow the recipe. And so God gives us the recipe we're going to see today on how to have a conformed mind, conformed to the image of Christ, have the mind of Christ. And so it's pretty straightforward, but we listen again. We have to do what the Bible says. We have to follow the recipe. And so let's go ahead and read our scripture verses this morning. As you can see, it's verses 22 and 20 through 24. But to get the context, I want us to go back. We did this last week. I want to read from the beginning of the passage, which is verse 11. And starting in verse 11, Paul tells us that he gave us some teachers and some pastors and so forth. He gave them to us for a certain reason. And then he keeps the thought going down through the passage, even up to where we are today. It's the same thought throughout. He's continuing the thought. Why did he give us teachers? So that we could be matured. And then he goes on and continues to teach and talks about some things we need to lay aside, some things we should pick up, and talks about our mind a little bit. So let's read that again and get it into context here before we look at the lesson today. Verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And here's why. For the perfecting of the saints. And here's another thing. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Remember now, a few weeks ago we talked about growing up. So here he comes in verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children. In other words, we need to grow up. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, by cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And we also talked about false teachers, so he's mentioning it there. But speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, how's that? Through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Who being past feeling, remember we talked about having a calloused heart or a seared conscience, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. This, you know, Christ hasn't taught us these things. These are from false teachers and from the devil. Verse 21. If so be that ye have heard him, and ye have taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. Okay, so now we're going to look at today's text. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That kind of reminds us of Romans 12:2. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So obviously we're going to be talking about those two things that are mentioned there. He talks about putting off the old man, putting on the new man. And that's much of what really the Christian life is on a daily basis. So let's pray and we'll get right into it. Father, thank you for our time this morning. We pray you'll help us as we look at this lesson and help us to follow the recipe, follow the formula to have a conformed mind. And we'll certainly thank you for what's accomplished. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to start right off with this thought here. I hate to disappoint you, but you are never going to think right on your own. We need God to help us with this. We're going to see later, I think it was a statement on our sheet that says that as soon as you think you can think right on your own, you think wrong. And so we know we're not going to do it on our own. We need God's help. And we're going to see today, hopefully, these concepts, these ideas that Paul's going to share with us to allow us to do just that. I'll show you a verse connected with that here. It's 2 Corinthians 3:5. And I've read this verse so many times, I've not really noticed the word think in there. So I underlined it and I go, whoa, wow, yeah, he's talking about our thinking. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. And so we need God to help us in our thinking, and He's the one who's going to help us with that. Next, our minds must be conformed. That's our lesson today. Conformed to God's mind if we're going to please Him. And so we have to have that conformed mind so God will be pleased. And a verse that goes along with that, Romans 8:29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. So, of course, that's what God had in mind right from the start when he saved us. He envisioned us being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And that ought to be our goal. Well, as we get into this formula here, three things we're going to see. The first thing is this. If we're going to follow this recipe or this formula to have a conformed mind, the first thing is to repent of sinful patterns. And when I say patterns, I'm talking about thought patterns. You know, if you examine your own thinking, your own mind, how you may notice that you have a pattern of thinking that goes on. It might be self-talk, or it might just be certain things that you think about. You find yourself going to those things, often thinking about those things. Sometimes those things are sinful things. They're not the right things you should be thinking about. And when I say sinful, I don't necessarily mean, you're thinking about some crude, gross sexual sin or something nasty or whatever. It could be just worry. It could be angst. It could be things that are not of faith, that you're allowing yourself to get anxious or depressed or negative thoughts, things like that even, that can affect us in a negative way. So we want to repent of these sinful patterns. Well, in order to do that, we must repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart. Wow, the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. So in order to repent of sinful patterns, obviously we need to realize that they're happening in the first place. We need to realize that these sinful thought patterns are happening. Now notice in our verse here, verse 22, says, ye put off concerning the former conversation, course, the word conversation in Scripture means not just your speech, but your entire behavior, your demeanor. And the old man, which is corrupt and after deceitful lusts. So we need to put off concerning the old man. And part of that is realizing this, these sinful patterns, these sinful thought patterns that can be taking place in our minds. We need to, Paul tells us here to put it off, to get rid of it, to repent, to change our minds and get the right thing going on in our minds. Here's another statement for you. The unsaved mind, the unholy mind, the unbridled mind must all be acknowledged as wrongful, sinful patterns, and repentance is necessary to rid the mind of these sinful things. So we saw that verse a moment ago, as Acts 8:22, repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. You may have noticed that sometimes you have a certain pattern of thought. And it seems that some thoughts, no matter how hard you try to push them out, they return. And you push them out again, they return again. There seems to be this pattern that can go on. Sometimes these thoughts may be resurrected from our previous life, if you were saved later in life, as I was saved at age 25. And so I was saved later in life. And so perhaps I could have thoughts that come back in my mind from before I was saved. And the same with you. Perhaps they could be thoughts. Before we were saved. Well, Paul says that these things can happen. They could be from the unsaved mind. They could be from just an unholy mind. Or it can be from an unbridled mind. And he called these things corrupt. And so the unsaved mind, the unbridled mind, must all be acknowledged as wrong, sinful patterns. So when we realize that, that's going to be the first step towards the repenting of these sinful patterns. Then, once we realize it, then obviously is the actual repentance of those sinful thought patterns. Here's an interesting thing. We often repent of sinful, actions. And why is that? Because they can be seen. Isn't it interesting that we can be motivated to do the right thing only because others are watching or others can see that? If it's an action that your brothers or sister can see, we'll say, I need to repent of that because obviously others are seeing me do it. But how often do we repent of what's going on up here? And that's what Paul's telling us here. You know, it's easy to repent of an action because your brothers and sisters are seeing you. But they don't see what's going on in your mind. And so these sinful thought patterns that can be taking place in our minds, those too need to be repented of, and we need to realize that they're happening and then repent of them. And so it's easy to repent of sinful actions, but what about these thoughts? We often have to apologize at yelling at our children because we didn't deal with the anger that's welling up in our hearts. And let me give this statement to you here. Repenting of the patterns of selfishness, pride, bitterness, unforgiveness, covetousness, jealousy, envy, and lust will save you from dealing with sinful what? Actions later. Now, why is that? Because every action starts with what? A thought. It starts with a thought. It doesn't become an action until you've already thought about it. If we have to apologize to our children for screaming at them, it's because we didn't deal with the anger earlier. We didn't deal with the thoughtful or the angry thoughts earlier, and now it's become an action. Same with all these patterns here. Selfishness. If we don't deal with that, those thoughts of selfishness, it could turn into an action. And pride and bitterness, and right down the list here, even some pretty bad things that are listed there. And so it begins in the mind. It begins with a thought. And it must be dealt with while it's a thought and be repented of before it becomes an action. I remind you of Proverbs 23:7 that tells us, as For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. If I think, if I continue, if I have a pattern of selfish thinking, I'm going to be, and that's in my heart, I'm going to be a selfish person. If I have a pattern of prideful thoughts in my heart, I'm going to be a person that's proud. And just write down the list. If I have a pattern of bitterness, bitter, and I'm thinking about those things, I'm bitter about something, bitter at somebody, and that's a pattern that's going on, I'm going to be a bitter person. And those are going to be manifested in my actions. And so that's really a scary thing. So these things need to be dealt with early on. They need to be dealt with while they're still thoughts before they become actions. There's an old TV commercial that showed a man, you know, he was a mechanic, he's next to a car, and he's holding up the oil filter, and he's you know, I think it's an oil filter ad, but he's, you know, he's telling that, you know, this car has to have its engine replaced because the owner of the car failed to do the required oil changes, you know, and so forth. And it makes me think back to back in my college days. I had a car, and of course I think I knew better, but I don't know, maybe I was too busy, but I just never checked the oil, Brother Joe. Just never checked it. I mean, as in never checked it. One day the car, I'm running down the highway, just boop, 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 boop. That was the end of it. The car, the engine seized up because it didn't have any oil in it. And so I learned a lesson the hard way there. But this man on the ad says, okay, this they're going to have the engine replaced. Very costly proposition. Only because, you know, if he would have just, you know, he said, you can pay me now or you can pay me later. Pay me now. An oil change is only $24.95. You know, just pay it now or pay later, and have the expense of an engine being replaced. And so that, with that thought in mind, you know, we can deal with this while it's still here, and not have to deal with it later when it becomes action and it becomes, you know, we're paying a greater price for it later on. So that's the first thing. Three things. Paul's going to tell us here, he is telling us three things that are part of this recipe, if we'll follow, will help us to have a conformed mind, the first of which is understanding, you know, acknowledging these sinful thought patterns and then repenting of them. Number two, so once we've done that, now we want to resist with Spirit-filled power. Resist with Spirit-filled power. You know, the Bible tells us to resist the devil. And we ought to resist him and temptation, and of course have the filling of the Holy Spirit, have His power. Look at verse 23 again. Or we'll start in verse 22. It says, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And then here, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And so be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The first thing is, of course, then, is the enhancement. Interesting word. But yeah, when the Holy Spirit's at work, we are enhanced, you might say. And the enhancement of the Spirit. Interesting statement. The human spirit fails unless the Holy Spirit fills. If we could be just walk in the Spirit and have His filling, we would fail far less. And that would be by the enhancement of the Holy Spirit. D.L. Moody said this, God commands us to be filled with the Spirit, and if we aren't filled, it's because we are living beneath our privileges. That's a pretty cool statement. So, back to what I said, you know, at the beginning of the lesson, we are never going to be able to think right on our own. How true that is! You and I are not going to win the battle of the mind without the power of the Holy Spirit. We need His help, and it's not something we can just do solo. And here's that statement I mentioned to you earlier: as long as we think we can think right on our own, then we think wrong. Just as soon as you think you've got it, no, no. We've got to rely on the Spirit, His enhancement, so to speak, His filling, and have Him to help us with this. Then letter B. So we need the Spirit's help, and for Him to do His job, we need to be empty of self. We're going to have to be empty. And that, I think I skipped this. Is it on your sheet that says, in order to be filled, we must be empty? Or is this the next one? I had one I meant to put on your sheet. But you might write that down, this little statement. In order to be filled, I must be empty. Just add that on your sheet there somewhere. That's a good statement. In order to be filled, I must be empty. If we think about a gas tank on a car. Anybody ever run out of gas on the highway or the road somewhere? Anybody? Oh, Ron, okay. Anybody else? Okay, Sarah, John. I'll put my hand up too. Once in my whole life, amen. I think it only takes once. And then you're like, okay, that'll never happen again. I was driving my dad's, get this car name, right? Pinto. Remember the Pinto, Brother Joe? Ford Pinto. What were they thinking? Right? Ford has a better idea. Not that time. I borrowed his car and I was driving it and it's like, oh no. Of course, when you borrow someone's car, well, you just assume it had gas in it, right? Never assume. That's the other thing I learned. But if you think about a gas tank, it's always full. Now, it can be full and you still run out of, you still break down on the highway. What are you talking about? It's always full of something. It's either full of gas or it's full of air. And if it's full of air, you're not going to get very far. But when you put the gas in, guess what happens? You're forcing the air out as the gas goes in. And so for me to be filled with the Spirit, I have to empty myself. So the Spirit comes in, I empty myself out. So how important it is to be empty of self. When we are filled with self, the Holy Spirit is forced out. So the contrary is true too. If I'm full of me, He can't come in. So I have to empty myself and let Him come in. When we empty ourselves of self and the sinful patterns that we talked about in the first point, those patterns that accompany sinful lives, then we are filled with the Spirit of God, then we will have thoughts and actions that are pleasing to God. And so John said it this way, I must decrease, He must increase. And how important that would be. So, and then we see in the Scripture, let's see, it's here in Ephesians. Let's see. Chapter 5, you're right there, look at 5, verse 18. Chapter 5, verse 18 says this, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Such a familiar verse, such an important verse. But we need to be filled with the Spirit. Let me see if I got another statement for you here. No, I don't. So when we empty our own sinful patterns, and we are controlled by the Spirit. I think I forgot to put another one on your sheet there. Yeah. Sorry about that. Let me say this to you. When we are empty of our own sinful patterns of thought and our minds are controlled by the Holy Spirit, it will likewise be undeniable. So that's why I showed you 5, verse 18 of chapter 5. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. When someone is drunk, they're under the influence of alcohol. It's obvious, isn't it? They may stagger. If you ask them to walk a straight line, they can't. They will slur their speech. They're not talking properly. Things like that. They may even smell, have the odor of alcohol on their breath. Or it may even be coming out their pores or whatever. But it's undeniable. Well, Paul's telling us, look, just like it's undeniable that person has been drinking, it ought to be undeniable to others that you are filled and under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And how would that be undeniable? Because it's by your speech, and it's by your actions, and it's by your kindness, and it's by your forgiveness, and it's by the fruit of the Spirit, things like that. And it would be undeniable for others. They would look and say something different about that person. That person is being controlled. They're under the influence of a higher power. It's not alcohol. It's the Holy Spirit. They're under the control of the Holy Spirit. And that's what has to happen. We have to, if we come back, think back on our outline here, we have to first repent of the sinful patterns that are taking place in our minds. Secondly, to put off, to resist, and empty ourselves so that we can be filled, and then the Holy Spirit can help us to live the kind of life that He wants us to live. So it would be undeniable. We can't hide it. It's obvious in our speech. It's obvious in our actions. It would be obvious, listen to this, even on our reactions. Boy, I did something the other day and I caught myself react. And then I thought later on, you know, I shouldn't have reacted that way. It wasn't bad. I didn't make the person feel bad or hurt them in any way. But just in my own spirit, I thought it was like a panic reaction. Well, even panic. React in panic, and I thought, I didn't need to react that way. And so for that moment, the Holy Spirit wasn't in control. And so even in our reactions, we ought to be controlled by the Spirit of God rather than our sinful flesh. So let's go to the third one here now. So we have repented of sinful patterns. We have to acknowledge them first of all, realize they're there. Then repent. Then we must resist with Spirit-filled power. And of course, in order to do that, we have to have the enhancement of the Spirit, but we must be empty of ourselves so that He can fill us. And then thirdly, we replace with scriptural precepts. Now, I don't know if you're thinking this or not. You may be thinking, this sounds too easy. Well, it is easy. Then again, it's hard because our flesh bites us. It's easy in that we just simply need to make the choice to do these things. You say, I keep having these bad thoughts. I keep thinking these certain patterns. They keep coming back. Okay, we're going to talk about it now. They must be replaced. These are the things that we must do to get victory in our minds, because this is the battlefield. And so let's talk about that for a moment. Letter A under that. We saw Paul tell us here to put off. And so put off, we could say, is equivalent to repentance. Let's look at that verse again, verse 22. He says, look, that you put off concerning the former, that means before you were saved, the former conversation, or even if you were saved, but you were living in the flesh. The former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. So that old man is corrupt, and we need to put him off, and that's equivalent to repentance. Now, what we're going to talk about here is what we could call the replacement theory. That means, and it's used quite often in the Christian life. If you take something away, you need to replace it. I'll give you an example. If someone gets saved and this was true in my life. I was heavy into music and mainly rock and roll, but I kind of prided myself on my varied genre of albums I had in my crates. I had these orange crates filled with the old vinyl record albums. 33 or whatever they are. And it was mainly rock and roll, but I had other things in there too. But and I think I told you this story. The pastor preached on it one day, and I went up to him and I said, I don't understand what's so wrong with the music. And he said, well, I could sit down and tell you all about it. But he said, I think you just should pray about it and let the Lord deal with you about concerning that. So I did. I began to pray. But it wasn't long. It was only a couple of days. And I thought, you know, he's right. That's not really good. And so I got rid of it. I'm condensing the story here, but what I'm trying to say is when I got rid of it, now I had no music. So, but the pastor knew I got rid of it, so he started giving me gospel music. What was he doing? He was realizing, of course, in teaching me and doing it, that you just can't take it away and create a void. You have to replace. Out with the old, in with the new. And so we call that the replacement theory. Well, that same theory takes place here in our thinking. If we're going to put off concerning the old, well, Paul tells us, let's look at it again here. Verse 24. So verse 22 tells us to put off, but look what verse 24 says. And that ye what? Put on the new man. So we have to put off the old man and put on the new man. And so this is the replacement theory. We put off and putting off. Let me give you the statement here. Putting off is a huge first step in the replacement theory. But that's not, you can't stop there. But the wrong must be replaced by that which is right if victory is to be secured. So that's how the replacement theory works. If we don't use the replacement theory, what can happen? Well, we take away the bad. We create a void. We don't replace. We go right back to the old. That's what the danger of happening is. And so it is in this thing of thinking, having the mind of Christ. We need to put off the old man and his thinking, but then put on the new man and his way of thinking, which is the biblical way. And in doing so, we're practicing what we call the replacement theory. Let me show you a couple of the places where this takes place. Psalm 1, for instance, says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, and he doesn't stand in the way of sinners, he doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful," but here's the replacement. He's not doing those things. What is he doing then? His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So what has he done? He's replaced. He's replaced sitting in the seat of the scornful, standing with sinners, etc. He's replaced that with a love for the law of God. One other place here in Ephesians. "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands." So here's a man who used to steal. And he's put that off, and he's put on hard work. Replacement theory. And so it's doing away with the wrong and bringing in the right. It's a replacement theory. Letter B. So we have to put off and then we have to put on. We kind of said that already, but that's our next letter in the outline, to put on. I'll show you this verse here, Colossians. Because Paul uses those same words, to put off. He says, "But now also put off all these." And then he lists them for us. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have, he says it again, put off the old man with his deeds. And how does he have deeds? Because he first had thoughts. Okay, and now he says, "But have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him." What a great verse. And that verse encapsulates much of what we said in our lesson today. Great verse. So we put off and we put on. I said earlier, you know, sometimes we say, "Well, I've been thinking wrong for so long, I just don't think I can change the way I think. I've tried to stop or quit the wrong thought patterns. I've been to the altar and I've confessed them to the Lord, and boy, they just keep coming back." This is an interesting statement. We will never rid our minds of sinful thoughts by focusing on how important it is to rid our minds of sinful thoughts. You just have to replace them. I was reviewing this lesson with Caleb last night, and boy, his eyes lit up when I showed him the statement. I said, "Get this, Caleb." And I knew this would get him, because there was a time, I don't know, a couple years ago, that Caleb would have these thoughts, and he would actually cry about it and say, "I don't want to have these thoughts." And you know, and I actually told him, I said, "Look, you have to replace it when the thought comes. Think about a scripture verse, or start singing a song, or push it out with something that's, you know, good and holy and righteous." And of course, he eventually got over that and got the victory. But when he saw this thought, he goes, "Oh, that was me." He goes, "That was me a couple years ago." I said, "Yeah, I know." I said, "This is what you struggle with. You thought you just tried, and you couldn't get rid of it." I said, "But finally, you learned to replace." He goes, "Yeah, I was always thinking how I shouldn't be thinking what I was thinking." I said, "Yeah, as long as you're thinking what you shouldn't be thinking, you're going to still be thinking about it. So stop focusing on what you shouldn't be thinking and just replace it." Great principle. And so that'll help us. Let me see if I got another one here. Yeah, Philippians 4, 7 through 9. Here's what we ought to be thinking on. If you're going to replace it with these things. Paul said, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and what else? Minds." See that? See, we read right over these verses. Paul says here, look, this will help you keep your heart and your mind. And the mind is the battleground. Okay, so what is it? He says, what sort of things are true and honest? I'm just going to skip to the main things here. Just, pure, lovely, things of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. These are the replacement things. Stop thinking about that, what you don't want to think about, and just replace it with these types of things. And that will help you. And then he ends it by saying, "And the peace, the God of peace, shall be with you." Amen to that. That's great. You know, your mind is a lot like the desktop on your computer. If you have a program that you leave on the desktop, you have a little icon there, and you leave it there. The next time you boot up your computer, there it is, staring at you in your face. And every time you come back to the computer on the desktop, there it is. But you know what's really cool? You can take your mouse and put the arrow on that icon, and I think it's right click, and you can drag that icon over to your recycle bin and drop it off there. The next time you come back to your computer and look at your desktop screen, it's not there anymore. Now, you can dig and find it, but it's not staring you in the face anymore, because it's out of sight, out of mind. It's that kind of thinking. And so let me give you this one. If we continually feed our mind with the wrong data day after day, we will inevitably struggle with the same sinful thought patterns. And of course, as you know, that would lead us into sinful actions. So those sinful thoughts, you can click on it, drag it under the blood of Christ, and drop it off. So don't stop there, but just make sure you replace it. Replace the wrong thoughts with the right thoughts. Let's get this conclusion. I didn't even look at the clock. I realize we're out of time. Search your mind and repent of any sinful thought patterns. Determine to resist Satan's luring with the power of the Holy Spirit.